Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Cop Eye Podcast.
What is happening, everyone? Welcome back to the Cop Eye Podcast. I'm Mick, and I'm delighted to say I'm joined by former Liverpool goalkeeper Adam Bogdan for a special chat about a bit of his career and obviously Dominic Szoboszlai and all that type of good stuff. But before we get into it all, how are you doing, Adam?
I'm good. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
No worries. No, it's nice to have a chat. It's been, I think we were going to do it earlier in the season before Szoboszlai made his debut and stuff, but I think it's a good time now, international break, and we can discuss a little bit about that at the end. But I just thought before we get into all that stuff, I just wanted to see what you're up to these days. What are you up to?
Well, basically, you know, my contract ran out at the end of the season, and I think I'm about to finish my career and my football. I haven't announced it yet, but it's certainly looking that way, and which I'm pretty okay with. You know, I'm 35. I'm going to be 36, and I've started coaching badges. You know, I'm also going to a sport directorship course done in London. So basically, I'm starting the preparation for the next phase of my life, unless something crazy comes up. But I don't really see the too much chance for that, and I'm being quite picky as well with teams and with certain, you know, areas, and geographically we are quite settled where we are, so yeah, it doesn't I'm pretty okay with what happened with me in the last 15-20 years, so all good.
Yeah, I mean, your last club, you were in Ferencváros. I don't know if I've probably butchered the name there.
Ferencváros, yeah.
Yeah, so
you almost got it right. Yeah.
I had to Google that and get the translation and get them to say it to me. So you finished there, and so you're not thinking of like you said, unless something drastic happens or a good offer comes in, you're probably going to be finished.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I had offers after the season. I had offers from one in Hungary, and but not from Budapest, and somewhere, you know, I would have had to move. And I wasn't prepared to move, and also I wasn't you know, it has to have something over 35. You either have to be very fanatic to play, or have a good offer to do so. And or make a move for emotion reasons, you know, for probably for your childhood club, and that didn't come. And in the end of, I think I haven't, like I said, I haven't announced it, but it certainly looks, I would say 99% that I'm done. But also, you know, I'm super excited for the next phase as well, because I've been preparing for this, you know, mentally. I've done a couple of courses before, and I'm really interested in how to help. It's whether goalkeepers or how to help an organization or how to help young players. We'll see. But certainly for the first part, you know, I'm really excited to learn all these things and applying to different courses and doing the badges and start to, you know, prepare for this phase of my life, really.
Yeah. So can you see yourself like back on the training ground with another club, being maybe like the goalkeeping coach, maybe, for example?
Yeah, I could see myself. It's hard to see. You know, I spoke to Chase Bearing a couple of weeks ago. Let's say like 5 weeks ago, I was in Liverpool, and then he said, like, just do it, lad. You know, just whatever you decide, or whatever you, I have, you know, maybe in the long term, I have ideas about how to run or how to help run a football club, because of my experience, you know, being at Liverpool, and how it was run when I was there. And also have experience to how clubs shouldn't be run, maybe somewhere else, and also how important a club could be for a community and for the people. So all the good experiences I had in England and Scotland, you know, I could see myself bringing this experience in maybe in Hungary or in some other clubs in England. But that also could be the end of the you know, the road or the career, and to start somewhere and to work at a club, it might as well, and happily, could be working with goalkeepers, because I have a passion for goalkeeping, and I think I know more about it than I can do right now. And certainly, you know, the biggest one of the biggest effects I had on my life was when I signed for Bolton, and you know, and I was 19, and the way the coach then, Fred Barber, could sort of, you know, mold me into a person and a goalkeeper that can eventually make a Premier League debut. So that was a big event for me in my life, and I can see how to help players make it to the first team and make a career and all the aspects to it, you know, whether it's a physical or mental or anything else. So I have this idea, whether how I'm gonna start and where I'm gonna end up, it's still a mystery. But I guess that's why it's also exciting at the same time.
Yeah, definitely. I hope. Yeah, hopefully it works. I'm sure it'll work. Hopefully, I'm sure if you get the right club and etc., you've got the, obviously the qualities and the skills that you've gained over a long career. But you mentioned Jay Spear, and we've had him on the show a long while ago. He's a great lad, and that links into obviously LFC stuff. I just wanted to ask you about how do you look back on your time at Liverpool?
Yeah, I mean, it was a fantastic experience, to be honest. Like it's okay, it goes without saying. You know, I joined one of the best teams in one of the most famous teams in the world, I should say, and probably not in the best phase of its history, but certainly you could see that it's going to be, you know, the club turned out to be at the end. And you know, I managed to play games, not as much as I hoped when I went there, but at the same time, you know, it's still a huge thing and a great memories for me, what I did. But I have to be honest, I have a little bit of a bitter taste in my mouth, the way I, you know, maybe couldn't make it for long enough for Liverpool. But at the same time, looking back and I'm thinking about my career, I'm enormously proud to be able to, well, that I was associated with the club, you know, and I played and trained with players that I looked up and I'm looking up ever since, you know, because of their qualities as leaders and then football players itself.
Yeah, and you mentioned before about like your passion, obviously, for goalkeeping and stuff. Who do you think was the best like goalkeeper you trained with, or who was the best that you saw like on training field?
Well, for us, I think, and I can, I don't need to bring him here, but I know that Simon, he said to me that he wears number 22 because of Jaskalainen as well. And I think for our generation, like Jaskalainen was one of the, you know, the ones that you would look up to. And then I couldn't, because when I was looking at, you know, games back in Hungary in the TV, and Bolton was in a good shape then, and UC was unbelievable that time, you know, in 2004, 5, 6, 3 stuff. And the fact that I was able to train with him and learn from him, and he was the biggest, influence. Now, this is the word I was looking for before. he was the biggest influence on me. And I would say that he was probably the best player, best goalkeeper I trained with or played with. Having said that, you know, now I trained with, you know, obviously Simon, I trained with Peter Gulácsi, but he's a national team goalkeeper, he's in RB Leipzig. You can argue that these players, you know, got in a higher level, they played in a higher teams or highly regarded teams than both of them. But for me, looking back at when I was 19 and how I looked up to him, I would always say Jaskalainen.
Yeah, because he could have easily, because you mentioned his quality there, he could have easily went to a higher level, but his quality was still, like, I remember like being a lot younger and really admiring just how good he was. Was that kind of driven by how hard he worked on the training field, or was it just like...
Of course you need to have talent and you need to be natural to get to this point. But in terms of hard working, you know, we had a coach, like I said, Fred Barber, and he was working us unbelievably hard. You know, I still haven't seen anything like that, and I haven't felt anything like that, what I felt then. And certainly he was, and he also said, like, UC was working even harder, you know, like 10 years before when I arrived. So there was definitely hard work, you know, in the gym. I think, you know, during Sam Allardyce's era, you know, they were really they focused on a lot of nutrition and physical, you know, well-being as well, like being in the gym, looking after your body, looking after your health at all. And you know, for me, coming from Hungary, it was just dreamland, you know, to see that, okay, so this is how it's done, this is what you have to do. And UC would, you know, take all the young kids, the younger goalkeepers with him into the gym, and we have to do the same as he did. And so, yeah, definitely, whatever he's got and done, he fully deserves it because of his qualities and also his dedication and hard work. And he could have, you know, you never know, he could have gone to a bigger club. But sometimes, you know, people, it's not that easy and not that straightforward to go to a bigger club. You need to have somebody needs to leave. Then you need to, for him, certainly, you know, it would be a bigger, I guess, transfer fee. So, you know, it's not that easy sometimes. And sometimes not the best keepers go to the best clubs. Of course, eventually it all evens out. But yeah, okay, cut the long story short, he was unbelievable.
Yeah, he was like, if I look back at my youth, he's always one that stands out for, especially doing well against Liverpool. He'd always, him and like still like Shea Given and players like that would always have good games against Liverpool. And just sticking with goalies then, because I was going to bring this up later, but we might as well talk about it now because we're talking about the art of goalkeeping. And what are your thoughts on Alisson then? Because he's been at the club for 5 years now, and we're talking about like natural ability to improve and striving to get better. What do you think sets Alisson aside from other goalkeepers?
Well, you see, like, it's hard for me because I haven't trained with him and I don't really know what he does. But to me, he seems to be more like a supernatural keeper, that somebody, he's got an unbelievable talent. Yeah. And unbelievable talent ability-wise, you know, when he has to, because I think he must be close to like 100 kilograms or like that. But he's got the legs for it, you know, so he's got so much power in his legs. is so brave. His positioning is excellent. That's he's so powerful and relaxed at the same time. So he's a perfect goalie for me. And also, you know, when I left, and you know, we had Karius and Simon and didn't really work out, you know, although they played many games and you know, we got to the Champions League final with them, but at the end, you know, it didn't work out. And I thought that time as well, you need to go for the best keeper in the world and for probably the biggest price that you can get to. And I think Liverpool certainly got the one that, and since then, of course, it proved rightly so, because I think Alisson won the team many medals with his performances. It was unbelievable, to be honest. You know, like, you need, and it goes back to if like Real Madrid, you know, it's being so brilliant in Europe and in Spain as well, you know, the last couple of hundred years, but certainly the last 10 years. And if you look at Courtois, for example, that like his performances in the Champions League without a type of goalkeeper, like, or without a goalkeeper making unbelievable saves, and you don't get to the Champions League finals these days. And certainly Liverpool has one of the best in the world. I think Liverpool and Liverpool fans can count themselves very lucky and to have him.
Yeah, I think especially the way Liverpool play with the high line and stuff, and his, I mean, the amount of like stats you see about like one-on-one ability, and how does he, like, I know you said like agility and ability to read situations, but his just, he's got like a knack for knowing like how to position himself and how to make himself, and obviously he's very tall anyway, but he just knows how to position himself in the best possible way. Is that just instinct as well in the moment, those type of moments, you think?
It's definitely instinct as well, but at the same time, he's got a fantastic technique as well. And he also has a different type of technique that he can use, and he seems to choose the right one almost every time. You know, the way, for example, like when I do like a 1v1, sometimes I considered myself quite good in 1v1s, like staying up and then also do like you spread yourself at some point. But you know, he changed this and he's staying off, but at the same time, when the striker makes a decision and maybe it's, you know, steps in, he's so powerful and he's so forward, you know, his upper body is just forward and he's not afraid of getting hit. He's trying to look like as big as possible, but at the same time following the whole movement with his, you know, thighs and legs and pushing the striker into an area where he can sort of, you know, get to connect with the striker. And it's just, yeah, I think he's just got the natural ability to be able to get down low, but stay up at the same time with his upper body. And you, for that, you need legs, and he's got the legs for sure. And some keepers, you know, you would maybe turn your head when you get so close but he's just so elastic as well, you know, like he seems to, you know, it doesn't, he's strong, elastic, you would say that, probably I'm using my English a little bit, yeah.
No, that's not,
and then also attacking, so you just see like many times like the striker would come in 1v1 and then he takes touch and he's already there. But at the same time, you hardly see him picking the wrong position or picking the right position, but too late. He's always on time. And that's, I think, the biggest, when you look at like somebody who was like a top club keeper, like Buffon, always in the right spot at the right time, staying calm and react. And it sounds very simple, but it's really hard to do when you have like somebody like, especially with Liverpool, you know, when you have like a high line and you start going backwards, okay, when do you stop?
Yeah.
And where do you stop? And do you come forward or not to come forward? Like, Jim, I apologize to him now because it's not, it wasn't his fault, but you know, Trafford, the young goalkeeper, he's gone to Burnley and I just seen the game a couple of weeks ago. And then he's going backwards and it's just saying that it's the hardest bit to do. to find the right position when you don't even know where the goal behind you.
Yeah.
And he sort of went backwards. The striker had a heavy touch. Then he decided to come. He sort of slid a little bit and he just got there a little bit late and he got dinked. With Alisson, you hardly see this. So somehow he can get this positioning perfectly right and staying calm and trust his abilities, but also choosing the right technique to cover most of the areas in the goal. That's what 65 million. That's why people pay 65 million for him. Having said that, it's not always working out, but with him, I think being so intelligent and a good lad as well, what I hear is just a jackpot, really.
Yeah, I think another thing that adds to all the stuff that you've just been saying, like something that I've noticed, like I guess, like I remember, like Pepe Reina used to go around or try to attempt to go around them, they would have a bit quite, from what I remember, I might be completely wrong, used to have joy against Reina doing that. But when Alisson, I don't know if it comes back to his strong legs and stuff, but he seems to have a lot of speed when, if say someone tries to knock it round them and, you know, like try and pass it into an empty net, he has the ability, speed. It's ridiculous, powerful, isn't it?
Yeah. He's just so powerful, you know, and he just almost like, you know, he's pushing the grass underneath him, you know, like it's almost like pushing the whole pitch away. I think if you've seen him, like how much he can squat we would see like big numbers, in my opinion, because you need to, for this big body that he has this sort of like momentum going forward, you need to hold it or let it loose, guiding the players into the right area. It's similar to, for example, Van Dijk would do as a defender, you know, just shield it, you know, just shield the player into an area. And then when you get, then you can take the ball off him. At the same time, you know, with Alisson, the playing from the back with his feet sort of sorted, you know, Liverpool is so calm now. Okay, mistakes will happen, but at the same, in general terms, you know, the way out, the way they play from the back with Alisson, he's superb. And that's also a huge things as well, you know, capable of making huge games, in huge games, big saves, but at the same time, his basis is so high all the time.
He's incredible, isn't he? I just wanted to ask you this quickly then, because you mentioned like Loris Karius there, and obviously it didn't really work out in the best possible way. He had some good moments in the Liverpool shirt, but there's just, I guess, high profile mistakes and stuff in Champions League finals.
It's crazy how close to you come. You play a Champions League final, and I say as well, it didn't really work out in the end the way it should have been or could have been. And you get to a Champions League final. How many players dreaming of playing in a Champions League final? But I guess it's just, but also.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead. Ask the question. Sorry.
I was just going to ask you, like, because there's, I guess, a lot of stuff that you see online about maybe him being, for example, more interested in, I don't know, like being on Instagram and posts and stuff. What was he like in terms of on the field? Like, was he a very hard worker? Like, obviously, him being a good-looking fella, I guess, didn't help his image in a weird way, because he did see people had seen posts and stuff on Instagram and whatever, and thought that's where he was.
To be honest, what didn't help him, I think, is the video that he posted after the Champions League final. I don't know if you remember that he took off that he's in Los Angeles and you know, living a life which he's entitled to, but he probably didn't have the best optical after losing a Champions League final. Having said that, he worked hard, you know, there's no doubt. Like anybody who was at Liverpool, they worked incredibly hard in the gym or on the pitch or doing the right thing, you know, like sleeping wise and recovering wise. So he was no different. You know, I'm going to say again, he played the Champions League final and he helped the team getting there on the way. So he's a really, really good keeper. But certainly probably what you're asking me is, I would say what didn't help him in that certain moment is posting that sort of video after losing a, you know, a final, which of course it would hurt people and fans. But I think Liverpool fans would, you know, they would, they understand, fans are not stupid. I think they understand that being in a Champions League final is a huge thing. And of course you get angry at that time, but at the same time, people are humans, you know, they make a mistake. But maybe that sort of like not showing enough remorse, I would say. Was it remorse? You know, after probably that didn't happen. But nevertheless, you know, he's a top professional and he trained his best and he played his best and he tried to give his best all the time.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you a bit more about, like, I guess easier questions than that one. So, like, in terms of, like, your time at Liverpool, who was, like, the most difficult, like, to face? Like, which striker was a nightmare to stop, I guess?
Ooh, I would say Sturridge. When he was fit, he's just fucking... I'm sorry, he was...
No, you can swear. It's
yeah, fine. Yeah, I can swear. It's fucking unbelievable. Like, honestly, his technique and his left foot... don't know if you remember, you probably remember, you know, the Europa League final against Sevilla that we lost in 2016, and that score, that the goal he scored, and he did it regularly in training. And you think, like, I'm a type of guy that I blame myself for every fucking goal I get, really. So it's not a healthy situation, but in training I'm like, he would, you know, he would stand in front of the ball and then he just do this with his feet and then he just hits it with the outside of his foot and it goes in. And I'm thinking, like, I'm diving and I'm thinking, like, I should get this. But then you get the footage from up, you know, from the training. And then you think, like, I shouldn't really have that, you know. So his technique is outrageous and the feeling to get a goal or his sensing where to get a goal was ridiculous. So I was really... you know, sorry for him to see that, you know, he because of his injuries or afraid of being injured and having like big high profile injuries before, it's sort of, I didn't see enough of him playing. And I think that goes to the same for the fans as well and for the manager as well, because he was unbelievable. At that time when I was there and trained, like, Coutinho was on fire, you know. That was before his move to Barcelona. And you know, his shots is not more like a striker type of thing, but also sometimes, you know, he would get into the box and then I always said to my friends at home, like, okay, you know, I consider myself quite good, you know, with 1v1s, and then you think you do the block and do this, and then you have like Coutinho coming with you, and then you try to do the block and it dinks you. Okay, so maybe I'm standing up now. They go through your leg. Okay, maybe close this one. Then it goes around you. Or just do this, you know, sort of movement with his feet, you know, like just fake, but little movements. Like I would always say, like, you know, like ice hockey players with the edge of the I don't know how you call this, with the stick, and they can play this, they can play with this pack, and then this is the top players, they do that, you know. They Nunez, for example, like the goal against Pope against Newcastle, the second goal, that I think Pope could have come out a little bit more, but at the same time, he's sort of like falling onto his left. But if you see, like, Nunez's finish, it's sort of like, as before he hits it, it looks like it might hit the near post, but he just pulls it over in a fraction of movement. Yeah, these type of players, they are top. Also, Firmino, for me, as a player, yeah, I'm gonna keep this answer to the last question that you're gonna About the five-a-side team, yeah.
I mean, yeah, there's some ridiculous... I mean, Sturridge and, yeah. Sturridge, but the fact I always think the fact that we got Sturridge and Coutinho for, was it 20 million? 12 for Sturridge and 8 for Coutinho was like... I mean, as deals go, it's like absolute bargains. I've just got one more for you before we get into the five-a-side stuff. Who was your, and this is a question from Doug on Twitter, who was your like favourite like teammate or your best mate in the dressing room?
That's a good one because I never really got, maybe it's probably my fault as well, but I got on good terms with everybody. And, you know, I signed with Joe Gomez in the same day, so he would be quite friendly, but not to a point, but I would, you know, I would go to his house or he would come to my house. And also, I also had my family with me, you know, with a young daughter that time, since she was just born. So I didn't really, having said that, we didn't really have the time because we hardly had any day off. But I was in good terms with everybody. So I wouldn't, obviously with the goalies you would spend the most of the time together. So I would say Simon or Mignolet would be the one that I would speak to the most. I wouldn't make Danny Ings is another one that I would, that he's a friendly one, but it's not to a point where I would, you know, I would call him up and you know, talk to him. I would sort of, I had my friends from home or from outside of football or within football, but in Hungary. And I think that time, I think it's certainly a different story now because of the team has been evolving, you know, the last 8 years or 7 years. But that time there was a lot of newcomers and also it was just beginning to sort of like almost like a transition period that time when I was there. But again, it's probably my fault as well. Like I lived in Manchester, and when I used to play football, I was focusing on football and in training, and then I would go back home to my family or to my daughter. But having said that, you know, if I see them or every time I text them, you know, for tickets. some of them would reply, and yeah, it's. But not to a certain point that I would say I was like this, like for example with Henderson, with Lallana, or I don't really remember who was like big friends, but they would certainly be the two. But again, since then it must be a different story at the dressing room because they seem to have a really tight knit, you know, there.
Yeah, definitely. Just before we get into like the, I guess, more current stuff, Dan, I just wanted to, and I prepped you on this before we started, just so you could have a think about like your five-a-side, your ultimate five-a-side team. It doesn't have to be Liverpool players, but just like, I guess, technical players or best players who'd fit into a five-a-side team.
Right. You have to help me with the numbers because I can get carried away. But I would certainly put Firmino in, for sure. Just holding up the play, holding up the ball, you know, play off him. Also, you know, have the vision to pick a pass and see three step ahead, whatever I could have seen anything, you know. And then I would put Kevin Nolan in it. There you go, another Scouser, but from Bolton days, because I thought he was incredible. And it's similar type of like, okay, different, probably different, but in terms of vision and technical ability and strength, like Firmino, but in Bolton days, and he certainly made a big impression on me that time. I put, there's a probably another one. Jesus, I was gonna say, you know who I was gonna say before we could, because before you brought up Sturridge, I was gonna pick Marković, Lazar Marković. Remember him? He didn't play much in Liverpool. He played good games, but I saw him when I was injured, and you know, the players who didn't play the game the next day had like five-a-side games as a compensation training, and I was injured. I was watching from the gym, and that guy, Jesus Christ, he is unbelievable football player, and in five-a-side, he's just too good. So I would pick him as well, and then. I would need I would need defenders, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you don't have to. I mean, you can just go full out strikers.
Yeah, exactly. Just go strikers. Then put them. Then put Sturridge in. Sturridge. Yeah, definitely Sturridge. Okay, he can score goals from anywhere. Alisson as a. But you know, I have to be somebody I played with. Yeah. So put Jaskalainen. It might be a bit too old now, but the prime Jaskalainen, I would put him in. And do I have one more? Yeah.
Yes, so you've got Jaskalainen, Sturridge, Firmino, Markovic. Was there one? Did you say one more? Yeah, so I think you've got one more. Yeah,
Kevin Nolan.
Oh, sorry, Kevin Nolan. Yeah, there you go.
Okay, so that's it. That's it.
Good team, very good team. Yeah. I think if you picked all them in the primes, like Kevin Nolan is, yeah, I mean, what an exceptional player! Exceptional player. Used to just really. Yeah, just like a bit of a poacher in the box. He always seemed to get goals, didn't he?
Wow, it was horrible. You know, like when I trained in when I was younger and I trained the first team, you think like I was quite tall, so I could come and get the ball. And if you just put his ass out, you know, like in the moment when I want to jump and just push me out, and then the ball would fall and he laughs at me. You know, he would just laughing and like, hey, all right, lad. Like, and he's also, he could play with his feet. You know, you could never guess where he's going to go, you know, if it was like within the box, like a shooting session. So, but it's hard. It was a hard test because you have to put five players in a five-a-side. But I think Markovic, I would put in because of the experience, what I've seen of him in a five-a-side game, that he's a genius.
Yeah, and another one that I guess didn't fulfill, I guess, the potential of what he should have for, I guess, the price he came in for. And I think he showed it in bits, but
I don't think he was the certain player for probably for England or that style of. Don't think he had the physical ability or, you know, the strength. And then, and I'm saying that also, I think that when I'm saying this, I'm thinking about Luis Diaz, but Luis Diaz seemed to be a little bit more aggressive, you know, and really at it and just goes at it. But nevertheless, like Lazar Markovic was just, I think, as a genius, a football player that probably maybe got frustrated a little bit by not playing as much, and probably when he played, he didn't bring as much as he hoped as well, or the fans hope, but ability-wise, what I've seen is just top player.
Yeah, definitely. So before we wrap up, I just wanted to, of course, ask you like about recent Liverpool Football Club, and of course, Dominic Szoboszlai has recently joined the club and been a bit of a revelation already, and we've only played four games. Has it surprised you how well he's came in and done, or did you completely expect him to be this good?
Well, I spoke to on the podcast some of your rivals before, and I said that I think somebody, like looking back on the transfer that Liverpool have been doing in the last 10 years, and you know, when they paid big money for players, it usually works, and I think they usually know exactly what they're doing and what position they need a player. And it's been unbelievable, you know, transfer policy for Liverpool. And I think to see that they paid the amount of money, I think 70 million pounds, would say that they know exactly what position they need him, and certainly why they need him. So I knew that he would be playing. And he would be playing, you know, regularly, but I didn't expect that he was so fit, and he was so. I knew he was tactically really aware, and I knew that in Germany they are usually tactically really aware, and the type of player he was, and his sheer talent is just phenomenal. But I didn't expect him to play all four games in 19, you know, all games throughout, and he wouldn't be substituted. And the fact that his basic level of playing football is so high, his standards is just here. And then I think there's much more to come, because he's getting used to everything even more. I think you can see the players, his teammates' eyes when he scored the goal or when he gives an assist, that how much they appreciate playing with him. Yeah, it's just incredible for us Hungarian footballers and fan, you know, fan of Hungarian football, that we have a player that is in the elite, and he certainly lives up to the expectation of the price tag, in my opinion. And I think there will be more to come, definitely in terms of assists and in terms of goals as well. But the effort and the work he puts in, for example, against Newcastle as well, when the team went down to 10 men, it's really, really is a good feeling for us, and probably for Liverpool fans as well. I don't know what is your opinion, or what did you see?
He's incredible. He really, I can't believe how, I think similar to what you just said, like I knew how technically, I guess, he good he was, and like free kicks and ability to strike the ball, but his ability to cover the field, especially when you've got go two games and you've got 10 men for two games in a row. And he's basically given you an extra man on the field by doing the running of two people. And I think that's, I mean, for the short amount of time he's been here, he's been absolutely incredible. He really has.
Yeah, and there's also his one touch and two touches. You know, he doesn't really give the ball away, and he seems to, you know, find this incredibly crowded midfield because of, you know, Trent comes in, and then you have like an extra man on midfield, and it's so crowded at some point, and sometimes that just seem to choose the right pass option all the time. Yeah, you can put him in, for example, his goal, you put him on the edge and in a left-footed position, and then he scores an incredible goal as well. So, okay, go ahead. Sorry, you're going to finish it.
Oh, no, so I was just going to ask you, like, about, like, how, obviously, you train with him and stuff, but how young, I guess, how long ago was it where you thought... Or when did you first seen him? Did you think this guy is going to be exceptional? Or
the first one when he was 17, under 17 European qualification, and it was on TV in Hungary, and then I think they needed either two goals or one goal. I can't remember, but he had a free kick, and it's like either you score and you go to the next round or you're out. And he scored, but it was so convincing. You know, he just sat there and he kind of like knew, and he did it again in another game. And then I thought like, okay, he's special. And he's not just somebody who, because we had this before, these kind of players who like the media, because we don't have that many superstars, then they just, you know, they bring it up and, oh, he's going to be the next this, the next that, the next this. And then you think like, okay, yeah, that's just media. But when you see it, and then he does it, and then also his reaction to, because you know, he missed out on the European Championship, which was, you know, two games was in Budapest 2 years ago, and he had an injury, and also the it was quite a long one. You know, he missed a good couple of months because he just couldn't find the reason why he was there, but. I saw him in the gym, and I saw his reaction to it, and how much work he put in, and then of course he was disappointed not to be at the. But he was like, you could see that. Okay, I'll be back, and it came, and he became stronger. He became fitter, and his reaction to setbacks, it's second to none. And also the fact that I think he really enjoys this sort of star position. He wants to be the main guy. He enjoys to be in the center of attention. And I think he's born to do it. Also, he puts the work in it as well. That's a good combination usually.
Yeah, what I mean, it's early days, like you said, but and the signs are really good. But how good do you think he can go on to become? Because obviously we Liverpool have lost big players this summer. And I guess there's him being quality, and then there's being... like you said, mentally strong and having confidence in your own ability to say basically, right, I'm gonna be the guy who you rely on for the rest of his contract and hopefully longer.
Sorry, can you repeat this? I've just stopped.
That's okay. So like, for how good he's been in the short amount of time he's been here, like how good do you think he can go on to become?
really, it's going to be what I see now is that the basic components are there, and the fact that his standards, even if it's a normal game, that sort of normal standard game is so high in terms of quality and is so assured, self-assured, that I think it depends on him, and it depends on how long he feels healthy in Liverpool. But certainly, you know, the fact that Jurgen Klopp is there, it helps him because of of course, Jurgen Klopp is German. He comes from Germany. He understands the way German coaches are and the requirements in certain points. So at the moment, it seems to be the perfect marriage. And I hope that he stays as long as he's happy and as long as he's, he can be there for a long time. But definitely, I can see, you know, these type of players, they usually, I hope that's going to be the case with him as well.
Yeah, perfect. Adam, I just want to say thanks very much for taking the time to jump on. It's been an absolute pleasure. Hope everyone who's listening really enjoyed it and appreciated Adam and his obviously expertise in goalkeeping and all that kind of stuff. I thought it would be a good chance to ask about Alisson and stuff, so I hope you enjoyed listening. But thanks very much for jumping on, Adam. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
No worries. And yeah, we'll see you all very soon. Nice one.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Kopai Podcast.
Network.